Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We've pulled it off again this week, Simon, aren't we?
We've pulled it off.
What about the guests we've lined up today? I didn't think you'd be able to beat last week. Who was it we'd done last week?
Scott Leach,
so we did it. Scott Leach, well, it was brilliant. But today, delighted to say we are joined here by the Partick Thistle midfielder, Martin Woods. Martin, good to have you on.
Thank you.
Good to be joining us. How good are you looking, by the way?
Mate, I was just going to say, I wish the listeners could see instead of
it's like a cross between Peaky Blinders, The Godfather, and Emmerdale, isn't it?
I thought it was Jimmy Cockhill.
Emmerdale for the 80s. You'll be too wrong to remember that. Like, Seth and Amos Braley and all that.
He's looking great. Bro,
thanks very much, guys.
Never felt like such a fat retard.
So, Martin, you know that you're here to talk about football. This isn't a fashion thing. You're here to talk about football, right? That's great. Brilliant. We're going to have plenty of fun today and some serious topics to get our teeth into. We've got three things that we'll cover. We'll review the William Hill Scottish Cup semi-final, Celtic beating Rangers, Motherwell beating Aberdeen. We'll dip into the Champions League semi-finals. What a brilliant lineup we've got there. Liverpool against Roma and Real Madrid against Bayern Munich. And then we'll get some thoughts and memories on the sad passing of one of Scottish football's great characters, John Lambie. So to kick us off, we will speak about the Celtic Rangers Scottish Cup semi-final. 4-0 win for Celtic. Martin, it just looked ever so comfortable for Celtic, surprisingly so maybe.
Yeah, I think kind of maybe Rangers got it wrong for the start of the game with their shape. Maybe looking back, he wouldn't have went the same. Even personnel, I think they maybe slipped up a wee bit there, chucked a couple of people in out the blue, and I think Celtic were totally dominant and well deserving of their victory.
What did you make of the 90 minutes, Simon?
Like Woodsy says, when I seen Rangers' team, I actually couldn't believe the team he'd picked. I mean, for Andy Halliday not to play for, what is it, 2 or 3 months? To fling him into that game, it just absolutely baffled me. And then you've got a guy like Kenny Miller who scored last week, fit as a fiddle. I know he's 38, but a big game player with big game experience, and he's sitting on the bench. It really did. The team blew my mind. And I think for the first minute to the last minute, they were second best.
I can remember the Celtic Rangers game at Ibrox earlier in the season when Celtic won 2-0, Pedro Cassinha's team, and the lack of, no effort, but just determination, desire, just putting tackles in, making yourself busy, letting Celtic know they had a contest, even though Celtic were far superior. And I thought it would never get worse than that for Rangers, but Sunday for me was really, really poor a team. And you can blame Graham Murray, tactics, formation, but surely the players, you should be able to show a bit more when you're out in that
pitch. Especially when you see a midfield, Halliday, Dorans, and who was the other one?
Dockery.
Three Scottish boys, you think. One thing they're going to give you here is a bit of dig, work rate that will get in Celtic's faces, but there wasn't even that. And for me, Graham Dorans isn't a sitter in a million years. I knew Dorans since he's a wee boy. Played up front with my Scotland teams. The best thing about Graham Dorans is he's got great technique, getting in the box and scoring goals. Mm-hmm. And to see him sitting in front of the back four, it absolutely baffled me.
Is he wasted in there, Martin?
Definitely, you know, the guy's got so much ability at the edge of the box. He likes to get his wee chops in and hit shots. So to end up playing him there, it totally wasted it. But I think Rangers, although they boys have got dig in their game, I think the way they were set up, they just couldn't get near Celtic to even put a tackle in. They were that disorganised, I felt as if they just couldn't get near them to put a tackle in. And I think maybe they're used to the ball when they got it back. People are saying, kind of Doherty's good at winning the ball back, but when he got the ball back, maybe struggling to kind of find a man. So maybe, I think they maybe need to look at that as well, where when they get the ball, what they're doing with it then, it's all right, kind of maybe winning it back. But I think Rangers as a football club, I think they've got to be able to kind of play a lot more attractive football than they weren't showing it at all.
Even with Warburton, I think they played better football.
100%, aye. Yeah.
See, when you seen them with Warburton, they were comfortable on the ball, they wanted possession. Yeah. Whereas it seems Sundays, they couldn't wait to give the ball back to Celtic.
Aye.
You know what I mean? They were in such a rush to give the ball away. Whereas Warburton, they would win the ball back, they'd maybe keep it for 2 or 3 minutes, but it was just like panic stations all over the
defensively as well. I mean, they just don't look, certainly against Celtic, they don't look as if they've got a clean sheet in them.
No, but especially when Dembele plays like that, I don't think many teams would have a clean sheet in them against him. I thought he was outstanding.
He
looked like a top player on Sunday.
He's got that, isn't he? Games he brings it, he's just unplayable at times. I mean, there's that debate about Griffiths or Dembele, and I'm a big fan of Griffiths. I think his movement maybe slightly edges it with Dembele, but When the belly's on form like that, then there's kind of no keeping him out of team, is there?
We'll touch a wee bit more on Dembele in a minute. Just to get back to Kenny Miller, I agree with you, I was surprised he was in the starting 11 because he's always a thorn in Celtic side. He's got that experience. Hamden, you can put your hat on Kenny Miller. Obviously in the last 24 hours has been the news about him and Lee Wallace. Some problems have both been suspended. What do you make of that whole... we're not privy to the full facts of what exactly went on, but certainly both have been suspended by the club.
The first thing that got me was Halliday and Candace's reaction to coming off. But see, if I'd played like that 38 minutes and I'd be apologising to my manager. Mate, I would. The brass neck of these boys coming off, and honestly, mate, I couldn't believe the way that they reacted. We obviously, see, Decano, he'd take you off after 15 minutes. See, if you weren't on it, he'd take you off after 15 minutes. You wouldn't say a word to him.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I was embarrassed by their reaction to their manager. And fair play to Graham Murray for changing it so early. People criticised him, saying he should have waited to half-time. What, until they're 4 down at half-time? He's trying to make a positive substitution, an attacking one, putting Windass on for Halliday. And for him to act like that was out of order for me.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of it, Martin? Then Candace, his reaction going straight up, and that just smacks of a dressing room and a bit of disarray and a total lack of respect from the manager and the coaching staff.
A total lack of respect towards the club. You can't act like that. Straight down the tunnel, you're killing all the boys as well. Surely you're off on the bench, you're trying to support them, that's your teammates. And as Si said, for him to think his performance wasn't worth getting brought off, then the guy must be in another planet because he was having a tonker. So I just don't know what he's seeing. And obviously Halliday, he was probably a bit more... unfortunate, because it could have been any of them at that stage that we could brought off, and he was the fall guy, and maybe he found that a wee bit hard to accept, but he wasn't playing particularly well, and he's probably just kind of he's been the one that the manager thought, I'll keep the other two on, maybe Dockett can give me a bit more energy and Dorns will get me a goal, and he's been the fall guy, so he's maybe a bit more unfortunate, but still his reaction wasn't ideal. It's towards the football club and your players that are actually coming on. It's a bit of disrespect. I don't like it.
And for Kenny Miller, if this is the end for me and he's out of contract in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks' time, it would be a shame in many ways in terms of what he has given Rangers over his three spells at the club. He started doing a bit of coaching behind the scenes as well, and if it's to end in this manner and possibly cause him any kind of future coaching role at the club, it would be so disappointing for him.
Oh, definitely. I think he's been a good servant to Rangers. Every time he plays, he gives his all for the club. You can see that with Kenny Miller. And I know Lee Wallace as well, who is a great guy. I grew up through the Scotland squads with Lee Wallace. And both of them are hard-working, passionate guys. Now, anything they'll have said in that dressing room, I think it would have been to help the club. And obviously you've said about Graham Murray, maybe can't handle the older players saying that. But the way football's going now, you can't say anything to anyone these days, you know. You've got to keep quiet, didn't you, mate? Like you say, anyone says anything now, it's all, you can't say that, you can't say this. That's maybe what Rangers need, is guys digging other people up to get them out of this mess that they're in just now. But definitely, it'd be a bad way to end it. But I don't think he'd be shorting offers, Kenny Miller. I think he's got a good reputation in football, and I think he'd have a few offers if he was to leave Rangers.
Still looks really fit as
he
well,
does,
doesn't he?
Yeah,
looks in good nick. Yeah. Every time he plays.
On that.
Snap your hands off, right, I'd imagine. If he can take his wages down about 10. but he seems a great pro, and as Si said, I think he'd be doing it for the good of the team. He's not going to do it, I never got on and chuck the dummy out. I think it would be, he'd be embarrassed that he's part of the squad that have been kind of annihilated at the weekend, and he'd have found that hard to take, and the fact that he couldn't get on and affect it as well was probably frustrated a bit. But Si touched on it there. I mean, I think it's more and more evident now in football that you can't say a word in dressing rooms. You get it held against you've got to just sit there with your mouth shut, and I think football's always been about opinions, and as in a dressing room, there's not a lot of lads that are out to just kind of be poison. It's to help the team. They want to benefit the team, and I think they too have probably wanted to say stuff to benefit the team, but the manager takes it the wrong way and ends up everything kicks off.
Yeah, it's just kind of it's reached boiling point, and then, but you know, sometimes you guys know better than me. A right good rammy and clearing the air doesn't do any harm, you know.
You played under Roy Keane, didn't you?
Well, I just got chucked out at that stage.
But back in the first lot on Roy.
No, it was.
You must have played under managers that would have loved the older boys speaking up.
Definitely. Well, at Sunderland at the time, I was with Mick McCarthy and he was mad for it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more so in the back end of my career. It's been, you've got to kind of watch what you say. Mm-hmm. And it just depends what manager it is. Some manager loves opinions, some just can't deal with it. They just want everything just running smoothly and what they say go. But I think in a dressing room, surely your players are a big tool to use. If they're opinions, you've got to count on it. Of course, you're the one with the final say in the end and you make that very clear to them. But I think in the main, you've got to take these guys' opinions because Lee Wallace, Kenny Miller, they've had great careers, so why not listen to their opinion, mm-hmm. take it on board, but at the end of the day, it's your say, you're the boss. But yeah.
It's also, I think, as you say there, if a manager allows a senior player or two, just go, I think it shows a sign of strength from the manager.
Aye, definitely.
Rather than weakness, we can just sit back and say, look, I mean, John Hartson was telling a great story the other day in the Arsenal dressing room when George Graham was the manager. A lot of times, George Graham would just sit down on the bench, let Tony Adams go on with it in the dressing room before the game. Half time or at full time, if he felt, he said, Tony, on you go, take mm-hmm. it away. And George was saying, but that shows a sign of strength, you're not undermining the man. Listen, we're not privy to the facts, what went on after that, but it'll be interesting to see when it all comes out, and no doubt players will have their say as well. And Graham Murty will be doing his press conference later in the week, so mm-hmm. we'll find out things.
See,
that
even when I was on. A wee guy, younger, 21, I went to Swindon, and you get sick of hearing the manager every week. I used to see when an older guy used to speak up, I yes, go on, son. Do you know what I mean? Like, even I get. Danny Wilson was our manager and Jonathan Douglas, who had played with Ireland, and they would stand and argue in front of us. But see, on the Monday it was forgotten about. Right. There wasn't any flung at the club, or it was just two passionate guys that wanted to win, who had played at a good level and wanted us younger boys to understand what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think younger boys are missing out on that now. They didn't get to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to move on to for Celtic, because as much as Rangers were poor, Celtic obviously deserve credit to win so comprehensively. 4-0, Moussa Dembele again, a real focal point in the team, and over the past few weeks, maybe it was all triggered with his goal at Ibrox, equaliser in the 3-2 game, and he's just dinked it over. Fordingham, he really looks the part again, doesn't he?
He does, he looks like a top striker. I mean, I think he loves being up there on his own in the big games. Ran the channels well, he gets a hold of it. Big McGrory's a good centre-half, I think he's a good up-and-coming centre-half, but yeah. I just thought Dembele made him look like a wee boy on Sunday, and probably know what Russell Martin needs at 33-34 as a big man running channels against him. He looked like a top player on Sunday, and I think if top clubs are watching, they'll be very impressed on him. What's he like to, or I'll let you ask that, Mark.
go on, just go. I'm away for a cup of tea. Well, like you've played against him, I take it as a right handful.
He's a big, strong boy, aye. I went shoulder to shoulder with him last year, and I felt about 10 years old. He just put me in my bum. So next time I had to foul him just to make sure I never looked silly. But he's a big, strong boy. And I think, see, when he's playing against the teams that I've played with, he was unnoticed, because it's as if maybe he's not really that up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where Griffiths is more consistent in the set throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I think you can count on Griffiths week to week, but this big guy in big games just steps up, and he just shows, he just thrives off atmospheres, I think.
He was probably last season, we're talking in the region of 20 million, and 17 to 25, mm-hmm. kind of million. You had a real few of the top clubs in Europe sniffing around, that kind of interest died off a bit, particularly in the January window there. But can you see that coming back again? Do you think Celtic are going to have to field a few offers in the summer?
I think it will. I think this summer there'll be a few teams in for him.
What kind of money do you think we're talking about?
I think 20 million.
Yeah.
I think 20 million. See, Championship strikers going for 20 million now.
Yeah.
So I don't see why not. He's already been there and done it in the Championship.
And he's also scoring regularly for France under 21s.
Aye. And I think top teams look at international football as well. I think there'll be a lot of scouts at their games, and anytime he plays, he does really well. The other one as well is Ncham, who plays him at France. Really impressed with him this year.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be long before the bigger teams are coming in for him as well.
They seem quite tight when they end up a double deal. Somewhere, is he a £20 million striker, do you think, Martin?
This current market, I don't see why not. As I said, he's played down the Championship when he was younger. He's only got better since then, and he'd done really well down there for Fulham. So ever since, he's just kind of in these big games, Champions League games against Rangers. He steps up and he does really well. So, and he plays, as you say, he's playing with France 21s. and there's big teams talking about it. I think Zidane said some nice things to say about him before. The guy's, he's definitely got it in him. So young guy, similar to Incham, two young guys, and it seems as if Brendan Rodgers, that's what he's going for, that kind of young player, up and coming, develop them. And I think Celtic could end up making a fortune on
him. And by the way, have you ever seen anyone think a penalty in an all for him?
Yeah. Absolute liberty, wasn't
it? Takes a bit of ball, he's done it. Big man's no care about a jump, man. I'm just thinking this. On you go.
It certainly was. Well, Celtic will play Motherwell in the William Hill Scottish Cup final, Hampden Park, Saturday, May the 19th. Motherwell beat Aberdeen 3-0 on Saturday, Simon. And again, a very comprehensive victory. As much as Motherwell were good, Aberdeen were disappointing.
Again, similar to the Rangers, but when I seen Aberdeen's team, I didn't expect anything else, to be honest. I was surprised Mackay Stevens and McGinn were on the bench.
McGinn was carrying a wee knock.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, the defence as well. I thought Aberdeen were all over the place. And I think Dale touched on it after the game. His squad's not as good as what it needs to be.
Carey Anderson was badly exposed, wasn't he?
He's edged into the big man. He looked like he'd been frozen in Iceland for about 6 months.
I'll just tear him up now.
But I thought Motherwell were excellent. They're good at the day, brilliant. They get the ball forward to the two big boys up front and they go and play off them. And for Carey Arneson and the big boy at the back, their two centre forwards ran them ragged. Wee Main's a revelation, isn't he?
Wee Main?
out the way, big man, but height-wise, he's a beast.
He's a handful, isn't he? See him, and he's... And to be fair, you never hear Motherwell fans now or Stevie Robinson talking about Louis Moult, which is it was a great testament to it.
Too right. The guy's been brilliant since he came in. I don't know if you've seen that one a few weeks ago with Tavernier, where he's for their goal.
Give it for Pat.
He's just strong, and he's a strong boy, Tavernier. He's a handful. Motherwell in general, though, they're a really difficult team to play against. They make it horrible. They're kind of... I think they've kind of went the same way as St Johnstone. They're right in your face. They hit it long. They don't try and play football. They basically set it back to hit it through at the striker, and then if the ball drops, they play off the settings and then play through there. They're really difficult to play against, and I think he's done a great job there. And all the boys have just got some great energy and endeavour. And I think Maine, that's what he's someone he loves, just loads of just being a handful, get the ball up to me. He wouldn't suit a footballing type team. So he's thriving off it, and he's doing great.
So for Derek McInnes, he didn't mince his words at full time, that he left a bit on his squad, and probably rightly so.
I think there'll be an old big overhaul in the summer. I've been disappointed in Stevie May, I must say. I watched him on Saturday. We watched the game. Doesn't look like the same player that was at St Johnstone for me. I'm used to him running channels, and it seems like he wants to come to feet all the time. I don't really think that's his game. That was food and drink for the two Motherwell centre halves. And I just didn't really see what Aberdeen's game plan was. You could see what Motherwell's was, as Woodsy says, get it up to the front two and go and play off them. But for me, Aberdeen just kind of went through the motions for me.
Five big games coming up for them. I mean, what a race we've got for second spot. We'll speak about that another time. But for Motherwell, cup finals, we say, what do you think, Martin? Can you see Motherwell winning the cup for the first time since 1991, 27 years ago, or do you think it's going to be the double treble for Celtic?
If I'm being honest, I think Celtic win the game. It's hard to see past them. They're so dominant. It's even they're on it, they're miles better than them in the league. So it just need to be a really bad day for Celtic, yeah. In Motherwell's best game that they can play, but Motherwell can make it look horrible. They'll make it a totally different game to Rangers. Rangers went out, they didn't know if they were hitting it long, they didn't know if they were playing, they didn't know if they were pressing, they were just disorganised. That's one thing Motherwell won't be. They'll be very organised and they'll have a plan. If it comes up good enough on the day, then we'll wait and see. But if Celtic are on it, then there's only one winner for me.
You could certainly see Main, Bowman, Cadden, we Alan Campbell, all those guys. You've got Kipri coming up for set pieces, Aldred coming up for set. You can see Motherwell causing Celtic problems, Sam.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if there was a league for fighting, Motherwell would win it, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Units, mate. But they've ran Celtic close on a couple of times a game at Fir Park, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Celtic went down to 10. Motherwell went down to 10 men and still got a draw. The times I've seen them against Celtic this year, they've done well at Fir Park, but I think on the big pitch, at Hampden, similar to when they're at Celtic Park. I think Celtic are too good footballing wise to for Motherwell to deal with.
So Celtic for the double treble, but an entertaining final and a close one.
Motherwell make it competitive, I think.
Definitely.
Okay, brilliant stuff. That's us covered the William Hill Scottish Cup semi-finals. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say in the company with our own Simon Ferry from Open Goal, and we're joined by the Partick Thistle midfielder Martin Woods, man of many clubs, Ross County, Shrewsbury.
Oh, that was brief.
I know. Your Wikipedia, what, have you seen it in a length? It was
about half an hour. I'll tell you something else, it's a fair length he's got.
Anyway. Right, we'll need to move on. Champions League semi-finals, Liverpool v Roma, Real Madrid against Bayern Munich. Right, I'm just going to declare mine right now. I'd love a Liverpool Real Madrid final, but before we get to that, what do you make of the two semi-final lineups?
Brilliant. I tipped Man City to win it. The one team I didn't want them to get was Liverpool.
Aye.
Because I thought Liverpool would be the team to beat them. They front three on the break are magnificent. Yeah. Really good. I think their game suits Europe. I think Klopp would have took one of the bigger teams in Roma. Mm-hmm. I think he likes being on the back foot. Mm-hmm. Teams to dominate the ball and then win it back and go and break them at pace as they've done to City. And I don't think Roma will be as easy as people think. I watched that game against Barcelona at home and they were brilliant. Very good at the back, very organised.
They've got a right good goalkeeper as well, isn't it? Alisson, that's been highly rated. And for him to come back, you know, for obviously I think people just thought it was a no contest going to Roma after they scored in the Nou Camp, but my God, you know, they were terrific, weren't they?
Aye, they were. I don't think anybody's seen that comeback coming. It was unbelievable. But I think looking at Liverpool against them, it's got to be a difficult one. Liverpool are, as I said, they three are unbelievable. I think as a front three come, you don't get much better than that. They've all got a wee bit of everything. Even Firmino, he does a shift going back away and all. He's class. It's got to be tough. I couldn't tell you much about Roma. I've not seen much of them at all. But I know Liverpool on the break, that's the thing, is Roma got to come and have a go and let Liverpool hit them in the break. It might be a
first legs at Anfield, isn't it, as well?
So. One thing you didn't want is Jordan Henderson to orchestrate the play. You'd rather they had it, wouldn't you?
What about Mo Salah?
By the way, I meant to say, big Woodsy and Firmino must go to the same dentist now.
Joey Essence.
Couple of great smiles, mate.
That's a farm, mate, straight out of the horse's mouth.
So did you get the bonnet with the teeth or the teeth with the bonnet?
It was the bonnet with the teeth, mate.
What about Mo Salah? How good is he?
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
Him and De Bruyne have been the two best players in the league by a mile, and wee Jose let both of them go. What is he thinking? How can you be a manager and only say to him?
Frightening. Lukaku, I know.
Lukaku as well.
Some front three, yeah.
Salah just...
What about his header against Bournemouth?
I know.
Didn't they think you had that in the locker?
Effortless, isn't it?
Wow. It's everything, eh?
He is effortless, man. He's brilliant to watch, isn't he? He's got the hands in the jersey in that.
I know.
Looks like he's not even bothered, then. He just gets the ball and he's a magician, man.
But who would you rather, De Bruyne or Salah?
De Bruyne. Player of the year. I think De Bruyne is a complete football player.
Player of the year, though.
It's a great debate down the road, isn't it? I think De Bruyne is overall... over the space of 10 months, but if you're doing it in the past 4 or 5 weeks, it's Salah, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But you've got you've got to remember it's over 10 months, it's not over 6 weeks.
Team that wins the league, their best player, I think, should get the player of the year. What are you thinking?
I just love De Bruyne.
He's amazing, man. He's
so pleasing on the eye.
I know it's the PFA awards, kind of you two in the running for any of the
awards.
Clubman of the year.
I was just going to say that. Team of the year, 2018.
I know it's a couple of people, there'll be a couple of players heavily involved in the lower divisions. They'll be getting announced shortly. So do you think any Peterhead boys will be
Big McAllister's up for any? He says he's desperate to get it just so he can cause absolutely uproar at the PFAs. I think the last couple of times, have you seen him?
No.
Supposedly he took the mic off Peter Martin. So he's desperate to get it.
Tonto.
He says that he's going to say stuff, he's going to get it to a few people.
He's some boy, honestly.
Right, get your votes in for Ronnie McAllister. Right along to the awards. Okay, what about Buffon, the red card, English referee, Michael Oliver, sent him off. First of all, was he right to give him the red card for the reaction to the penalty in the dying seconds for Real Madrid.
Who knows what he said? Has that even come out, what he said yet?
No, but I can imagine it wasn't very
clear. That wasn't nice, to be fair. He wasn't telling him he had nice teeth. He was just absolutely hammering him, wasn't he? And if he went over the board, then that ref's refed a few of my games down the road, and he's actually top man.
Aye.
He's a good guy, and he can tolerate certain things, so it must have been too much for Buffon. And sad way for him to end his Champions League king, because he's been such a legend, isn't he?
Do you think, though, that... And I know the referee's got to make the right decision, he gets caught up in the moment, but do you think he should have made allowances for the fact of what had happened?
The emotions.
Just, like, just say, right, okay, like, calm it, yellow card. Do you think he needed to produce a red right away like that?
I think these referees, they're under so much scrutiny now, and there'll be a guy sitting in the stand watching him. And if he's seen that, what Buffon's done, and he doesn't send him off, and he gets it in the arse for it, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think he's sticking to the laws of the game, isn't he? If Buffon's went over the top of things he says, then it's a red card. It doesn't matter who's saying it. It doesn't matter if it's wee Cy Ferry for Peterhead or Buffon for Juventus.
I think you know, the days of Michael Oliver refereeing again, we're involved in that, are long gone. What about Ronaldo's penalty? I mean, you think of the pressure, and he just loves that.
Loves it, thrives off it. The guy's just got pure class, and he's annoying. Sometimes he's annoying, but you just got to take your hat off to a guy like that. He brings it every single time. He's unreal. Him and Messi are, for me, the best ever, but this guy, under pressure, just sings one in the top corner. It wasn't even as if it was just like a place into the top corner. He's actually, he's done one of his free kicks into the top corner. It's like outrageous. So it's as if he's visualised that, and he's just went out, because the amount of time it was in between, he's just been so focused, and he's just put it right in the top bin. Unbelievable.
Right, prediction time's on the spot. We'll let Simon move on for the Man City prediction. We'll give it another shout. Right, I'm going Liverpool Real Madrid final, Real Madrid to win it. Martin, what do you fancy? Who's in the final? Who's going to win?
I totally agree with you there. I think Real Madrid win it overall, and I fancy they two to get through there.
Right. I've got Liverpool.
Liverpool, Real Madrid
final. Liverpool will win it.
I think Liverpool, Real Madrid just get great theatre written all over
great
it.
Like history
some,
in that.
Some Champions League finals can be disappointing, but if we were given that, I think you'd be absolutely glued to the TV, wouldn't you?
Definitely. They've never played in a final, have they? Liverpool, Real Madrid.
They have. I think it was in Paris, 80-81, Alan Kennedy.
Oh, was that Alan Kennedy? Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was Liverpool, Real Madrid. Needed,
where is the final?
Double check. Now Kiev, I think.
Is it Kiev? Is it?
I think it's Kiev. Yep. Wait to get my dates. Saturday night, May 26th. Week after the Scottish Cup final, unless I'm mistaken. I think it's May 26th. But I love a pull down we did. We have a bit special. Let's see if that one comes off. Okay. Next up, we're going to speak about John Lambie, Partick Thistle legend, fantastic character. He's passed away recently. Some great tributes, Chick Charnley, Jerry Collins, you know, and many more. Did you know much about him?
Nah, Simon? I never. But I see Chick at Huginfield Loch quite a lot, walking his dog, and he always tells us a few stories about John Lambie, how much he loved him. And
obviously, you're at Partick Thistle just now, Martin. I take it, you know, the tributes at the club and the supporters and stuff like that would have really, really felt it.
Yeah, I think he's like the Jock Steeney, Partick Thistle. He's the best manager they've had. He's a legend at the club. A couple of the boys were at the funeral yesterday, the ones that have been there long term, and the manager and the assistant, and everybody concerned. All the strips are up round the stadium, and the scarves are up, and there's loads of tributes going out to him. But it's really sad. But the guys left a great legacy there at the club.
I think it was Sandy Stewart was telling us last week at Five Asides, he had a very brief spell with Partick Thistle. Sandy, I think maybe in his last club, his career, and he was trying to dip his toe into the coaching, and they'd go down to Blackpool, as John Lambie liked to take them, winter breaks, summer breaks, whatever, just go down to Blackpool, because the pigeon club there, so he would have his dues, would fly, so he'd get to Blackpool, and they'd come, he'd take his dues, so the pigeons would beat the bus, then they'd be waiting for John arriving, getting off the bus, then he'd go to the pigeon club there, and Sandy didn't know. He says to Sandy, Sandy, can you just take training for the next 2 days? Just if you want the boys, we'll give you opportunity to go and get your toys. I'm awaiting my pigeon club.
Brilliant.
I'll see you.
Did you ever interview him, Matt?
Just after games and Jerry Collins, and one thing sticks out, they went to Falkirk. because we were very, very successful, Hamilton, Partick Thistle, and ended up the manager of Falkirk, and they really struggled at Falkirk. I think one of the Falkirk supporters tried to run Jerry Collins down after the game or something in the road, but it just went horribly wrong. They didn't like their style of football. But anyway, I remember being at one of the games at Old Brockville, and it's Falkirk v Sunday. I can't remember, and the football they played that day was poor. Anyway, I remember putting in my match report for the Sunday Mail. You know, Falkirk have signed this one and that one. As you said, the amount of high balls that they're playing up long, they were as well trying to sign a giraffe. That's when they made it something they actually were able to get. So yeah, I thought it was been quite smart putting a wee comment that. Well, Jerry Collins, we played a game, some kind of charity game a few months later, and then obviously Jerry hadn't forgotten. And Jerry was in my team. So I remember Jerry saying to one of the boys of the team, just pass it back to Big Weedy anytime you like, but just leave it a bit short, just so I can just get in and get one right on it.
He's in your team.
He's in my team. So he says, just any time, just pass it back. He says, I'm going in. He says, I've not forgotten. You know? So really? I like Jerry. Jerry's brilliant.
Uh-huh. Somebody told me a good one yesterday about John Lambie when one of the players has went down injured, and he's probably a concussion, to be fair. So they get the physios on, like, how many fingers I got, holding up. Boy's not got a clue what's going on. Getting the fingers wrong, can he? What's your name? Don't know. He goes off, says to him, physio says to John Lambie, doesn't even know his name. He says, well, tell him he got up, tell him he's Pelly.
So for John Lambie, sad passing, and our thoughts for everybody, and certainly a man that won't be forgotten for his contribution to Scottish football, and just a fantastic character. But for Partick Thistle, some serious issues to face over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Martin, bottom place in the league just now. Ross County, Dundee and Hamilton just above you. You've got to try and chase and catch up. Do you think you can get out of it, or do you think you're either going down or you're going to be in the playoff, or do you think you'll get clear of the bottom two?
I think we've got to get out of it. We've got to be aiming for that. We've got some massive games coming up. In the squad, we've got enough to get out of it. It's just what turns up. We've made a lot of individual errors recent weeks that have cost us. I mean, you're talking about the games there against the teams that have been around us, Hamilton, Dundee. We were 1-0 up against Dundee at home a few weeks ago. They scored 2 in the last 5 minutes. Hamilton the week after, they scored 1 in the last minute, last kick of the ball. It's just wee breaks like that. Just keep full concentration and do it for the full 90 minutes, and then feel as if we'll get out of it. But some massive games coming up, and it's good that it's against all the teams round about.
You'd rather have it that way. Do you like the split in terms of
100%?
Yeah,
it's all on us.
It's in your own hands, isn't exactly, it? You can do something about it.
We're in touching distance. We beat Hamilton at the weekend. And we're 2 points off them. 4 games left. Then everybody plays each other. So if we can win maybe 3 of the games, and maybe another draw in there, then I think we'll get out of it.
And for Alan Archibald, he's been there as the longest serving manager in the SPFL Premiership, some over five years, I think 5 years now. But are you feeling for him? Because he just seems such a really good guy to play for, and a really good person.
He is a good guy. The manager is a good guy, and he's fair with all the team. He's been brilliant, and he's always been really good. And I hope we can get out of it for him as well, because they come in every day, they work hard, and every day behind the scenes, they're a good club. Kitman's really sound, the fitness coach, everybody's mucks in together. So the last thing we need is guys like that to lose their jobs, because they've got families to look after. So I think that's things like that we've got to look at as players as well. It's not as easy as, oh, we'll just move on if we go down. We've got to be thinking people's always in their jobs here.
Livelihoods, aren't it?
Exactly, and that's sad to think about. So if we can do something about that in the last 5 games to help people keep their jobs, then I'll be doing my utmost personally anyway, and hopefully everybody will be in it. I'm sure everybody will be in it.
What's your contract situation?
I was speaking to them before we went in this bad run, so that's putting an end to the talks.
So you're out of contract in the summer?
So we'll see what happens at the end of the season.
Put on hold around, just concentrating, staying in the league.
Aye, exactly. It's you've got to put all your personal things to the side and just focus on just getting the club safe now.
When you look at it, Si, Thistle, Ross County, Dundee and Hamilton, pick your two from from four. Pick your two survivors. Let's put it that way.
Ross County will go down.
Ross County will go down. Bottom place.
Bottom place.
Ross County are away, right?
And then I think it'll be between Thistle and Hamilton for the second bottom.
So you think Dundee's going to get out of it?
I think Dundee will get it. I watched Dundee against Hearts. I think Dundee have got good football players in their team. They've got that right mix of good football players, but they can also do the dirty side. That's what I was going to ask Woodsy. When I was at Dundee, Thistle always try to play the right way. Do you think when you're doing there, you kind of need to change that?
We have changed it, mate, to be honest. I think when you're down there, the managers, they kind of want you to take the less risk, don't they? Mm-hmm. So
does that suit the boys though?
Hard one. I think the manager wants you to play in the right areas, but it's hard to get a mix like that, because where is the right areas to play? Mm-hmm. Because you're asking defenders to hit balls to strikers, and then they've got to get a hold of it for then you play, which is difficult. So if we can get, in the past, in the last few weeks, there's been spells in games where we've got the right mix and you feel as if we'll go on a run and do really well. It's that consistency problem that we've had lately, that we've just got to be much better. It's mm-hmm. 1 week we're really good, the next week we're like really bad. Mm-hmm. And that's not good enough. So hopefully in the crunch time of the season we can bring it every week now and steer clear of this trouble.
Who's your match winner? Who's going to get you the goals to win you the points?
Well, Big Connors, he's scored a few goals lately. Obviously Dules pops up with goals as well. There's a lot of players that play kind of in the hole. There's Chris Erskine, who's good in his day, Blair Spittle, who's good in his day. You've got Stevie Lawless, who's good in his day as well. So if these guys go on a wee run towards the end of the season, then hopefully we can get some really good results rather than just scraping through games. Hopefully we can do it in a style as well, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So, get off the fence, who's going down, Hamilton?
Whoever finishes Hamilton second, they'll beat the team in the championship.
Right, so who are you thinking getting through there?
I think Livy will get to the final.
So you think you're looking at Hamilton or Thistle in the playoff? Who is it? Which one?
I'll go Thistle.
Thistle in the playoff.
Hamilton just always seem to do it, don't they?
Just get out, just get over there. So yeah, that's potentially would you a job you're quite happy with.
No, just spoke about it. I've got family, two kids. That's me.
Sell the house, mate.
That's me.
So we'll touch on that later. And when it gets to that playoff stage, as much as you'll know what to be involved, Matt, and you want to pull clear, but if you are in it, it must say, well, it's not for the faint hearted of it.
No, certainly no. And you're getting your summer holidays chopped off and all, so we're certainly not wanting that either. Because we only get about 3 weeks as it is here before we're into League Cup games. It's carnage. I think, supposedly, a few of my mates have played against Livingston and they say they're absolutely horrible to play against. Mm-hmm. They make it very difficult. They're right in your face. Mm-hmm. So it'll be horrible for whoever's in that playoff. So I couldn't think of anything worse than go to the playoffs, to be honest with you. Obviously, being relegated. That's obviously the worst. So we've got 5 games. So can we stay clear of that? Because it's on their day, like even the team for the championship, they can go and beat the team in the premiership. It's a game of football, you know what I mean? It can happen any given day, so no after that.
The playoffs do favour the Premier League team though, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I think you need to play games. About 8 games before you get to play them. But it was a Hamilton to beat Hibs, they came up for the championship. Yeah, was that the last time?
2014, the penalty shootout, Alec Neil's team against Terry Butcher, yeah. So it went to the last kick and Hamilton took it to penalty kicks, and since then, you're right, I think the top flight team has stayed up. There's been three, so it was 14, 15, 16, 17, there's been three since. This will be the fifth.
Who was it last playoff year again? Motherwell beat Rangers a couple of years ago.
Motherwell beat Rangers a couple of years ago, and last year it was
Hibs won the league. Who was
it? Was did Falkirk get to the final?
Bad one, that
was it. Kilmarnock beat them, Lee Clark.
Kelly were in the playoffs, sir.
It was Hamilton again.
Oh, was it Greg Hamilton Doherty again? So it was Greg Doherty. Yeah, you're right.
Greg Doherty against
Dundee United. It was Dundee United, so it was Falkirk Kelly the year before, wasn't it? We must do more research.
Martin has really
put us in it.
Martin has really let our standards go. Not to self. Don't invite him back. Well, he's been great. I'm just looking at his gear again. I can't help it. It reminds me, I've taped that Giorgio Armani program, so I must watch that. Have you been watching it?
No.
The Versace program.
Aye, Giorgio Armani just showed you, didn't it?
Sergio
If it was Bobby Curtis, I don't know. Had I got his name right? Yes, it's. Versace boys, brilliant, Gianni Versace.
Got murdered, didn't he?
Oh, it's brilliant, great programme.
Muji's murdered it today.
You need to get it. Brilliant, listen, it's been great. We've had a fantastic 40 minutes on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks again to Simon Ferry for joining us. Thanks to our special guest, Martin Woods. Martin, thank you. All the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, Martin.
And hopefully we'll see you back here as a Scottish Premiership player again next season. Enjoy the rest of your time. See you soon. Bye.